Okay, let's get. I want to discuss with you a couple of things on the parasha from the Sefer Eitzer Pelos. He has some very beautiful things on this week's parasha. I cherish this because it's the last week I have the Sefer. He has only two volumes. Eitzer Pelos HaTorah. Not yet. He references. Oh, see what I'm going to write in Sefer Dvarim. I'm going to write in Parsha Vayelech. But so far, he only has on Bereishis and Shemos. Someone, Zicherman, Zev Zicherman. Okay, so he has some very nice things on the parasha. Because his first thing is, what is this parasha called? In the Yushalmi, Parshas Pikudei is not called what we call Pikudei. It's called Parshas Mishkan Sheni. That's what it's called in the Yushalmi. Of course, Yushalmi Brochus, Daf Peidalid. I'm sorry, Perik, not Peidalid. There's no way. Peidalid, Halacha Gimel, Kinu is Parshas Pikudei B'Shem Parshas Mishkan Hasheni. Now, why? So, what would you tell me why? Similarly, it's because it's the repetition. In Parshas Truma, we learn about the Mishkan for the very first time. And the second time, we learn about the second time. That's indeed what some of the Mepharshim explain. Who says this? This is what the Ridvaz and the Makar Baruch, that's how they explain when it says Mishkan Sheni, Sheni is going on Parsha. Parshas Mishkan Sheni. The word Sheni explains Parsha. It's the second time we have the Parsha about the Mishkan. However,
is that Pikudei or is that Vayakal?
No, Pikudei. It seems Pikudei. Only Pikudei. It's interesting. Right, it's not Vayakal. For
yeah,
some reason.
Also, it is.
Now, why? So what is the Ikar Tani? This is shocking what it says. Because the Tam Hadavar Be'er B'Perush Pnei Moshe Al HaYushalmi, one of the popular Perushim on the Yushalmi, on the side, Dibur HaMaskel B'Parshas Mishkan Sheni, B'Bnei Shenichbal B'Parsha Zo Mishkan Mishkan Shnei Pa'amim Ze Achar Ze. It says in the Pasuk, Eilef Fikudei HaMishkan Mishkan Ho'edos. Unbelievable. Pikudei HaMishkan Mishkan Ho'edos. Because the word Mishkan Mishkan appears back to back twice, so the Yushalmi, this is a Gemara, calls it Parshas Mishkan Sheni. So Sheni is not going on the word Parsha, it's going on the word Mishkan Mishkan. Fascinating. That's what he says. Now, okay, that, and then there was a Medrash. The Medrash tells why Taka doesn't say Mishkan Mishkan twice. That because of our sins, Hashem took away the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. That instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pouring out His anger upon us, Hashem poured out His anger on the Bayis Rishon and upon the Bayis Sheni. The Mishkan over here is, according to the Medrash, now referring to the Mishkan itself, because the Mishkan itself was put in Geniza, was never destroyed. The Mishkan was retired. It was hidden away for Yemos HaMashiach. But the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, and that was a Mashkan, that was collateral for us. Instead of Hashem pouring out His fury upon us, He took away the two Mikdashos, and we survived. But it's just an interesting idea, that's what Yishalmi calls Mishkan Rishoni. Okay, now another interesting idea, we have in Parashas Pikudei, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, how many times?
18
times. Why 18 times? So we know the famous Chazal to correspond to Parashas Tetzaveh. Moshe's name was not mentioned. Mochina Misifrich Asher Kosofta. So Hashem compensated Moshe for his absence by writing his name 18 times in Parashas Pikudei Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. But there's a very beautiful perush given by the Shevet HaMusar. Okay, Shevet HaMusar. He writes the following in his Bibu Agodos Eliyahu. He says, why do we have in the Shemona Esrei 18 brachas? Now, we really have 19 brachas, but why was it that originally Shemona Esrei has 18 brachas? So it says in the Yerushalmi, believe it or not, the reason why we have 18 brachas is corresponds to Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe 18 times in this week's parasha. Because 18 times, that's now what's the deeper meaning? So let me read you how he explains this. What we're trying to do when we daven Shmona Esrei is we're trying to make the following statement. You've done kindness with the people who live in the Midbar, the Dor Egel, when they made the Egel. Moshe was mespalel to you to forgive them. Limcha lohem em asiyas hamishkan, and the kapara was through the building of the mishkan. The mishkan was an atonement for the egel. Af al pishin eschayvu clear. They were men liable for destruction. Kach Likewise, when we daven 18 brachas, likewise we are hinting to you, mechol la'avonei seinu ba'avur beis hakneses, because we're coming to this shul. Sha'anu koyvim lehispalel besocho shenikra mishkan, which is also a mishkan. Ka'amar avoseinu the beis hakneses who mikdash ma'at the kabel tefilas sein. Amazing thing that the reason why we have 18 brachas in the Shemona Esrei is just like Ashkasha tziva shemes Moshe 18 times. That was the kapara for the Egel, and the Mishkan was the Kapara. So too, when we daven, let the fact that we're davening here in this Mikdash Ma'ad be a Kapara for our sins, as Moshe Rabbeinu Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. We make this parallel, bringing these things together. It's a very beautiful idea.
There's somewhere, I don't know if I remember,
yeah.
That in Tetzava it says 18 times Atah.
I didn't see that, or, no. Or 18 times?
I don't have it.
I don't know. You heard that in Michal? 18 times with Atah? I don't know.
Maybe not Atah.
Or
Sisa.
There is, yeah. I don't have the
safer
in front of me, but yeah. I've seen something about it. There's a bunch of
18. Okay, here's another Pella, another wondrous thing. In the Medrash, we know that we have here the Mishkan, Mishkan is twice. That's the beginning of the repetition. Eile Fikude HaMishkan. And then Nochemol Mishkan Ho'edus. The Medrash Rabbi says, why is there a repetition of the word Mishkan? To teach us that in the desert, there wasn't one Mishkan. There was two Mishkanais. Two Mishkanais. Where in the world is two Mishkanais? Go look in the picture books. You only find one Mishkan. So what exactly does this mean? So he presents here a whole smorgasbord of interpretations to Mavar the Medrash. One of the most shocking interpretations comes from the parish of the Medrash called the Yefei Toyar. And he says that in the
commentary on
the Medrash, the Yefei Toyar says that in the Kodesh HaKodashim itself was a miniature Mishkan. Remember, the Kodesh HaKodashim, the rules of physics did not apply. Ein Aron Min Hamida. Moshe Rabbeinu built in the Kodesh HaKodashim another miniature Mishkan. And in that miniature Mishkan, he put the Aron and the Kapiras. So it was a Mishkan within a Mishkan.
One room.
What?
One room.
That's a shocking interpretation. The other interpretation is Moshe Rabbeinu, he built another Mishkan. Not clear if it was a replica or it was just a basic room where he stored all the various kelim. You don't see that in the picture books. In the picture books, they show you the Klal Yisrael there encampment in the desert. They just saw the Mishkan. They show Klal Yisrael, the 12 Shvatim surrounding the Mishkan. But it appears, according to the Medrash, there was another secondary structure called the Mishkan, which was used as a storage center for all the various things that were needed for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah, what's the interpretation? Yeah.
It was a second structure of the same size.
Yeah.
That was used for the Sanhedrin.
Beisvat, right? He calls it Israel. The Imer Yosha.
They learned there.
It was a Beis Medrash. It was a Beis Medrash. It was also a place for the Mishpat, where they came for judgment. It was a secondary location where Moshe Rabbeinu he met with Klal Yisrael, and he gave drashas. Okay, let's go to another interesting.
About the second word, Mishkan.
Yeah. Ah, by a Swishon, very interesting.
Two four tens.
Very interesting. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. I always wondered about this, the following. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. The question is better than the answer. He presents the following question, to make a long story short. We are aware that the Mishkan was never destroyed. Why was the Mishkan never destroyed? Because it was too holy to be destroyed. It was made by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, by Bezalel, of Ruach HaKodesh. All of the money given to the Mishkan was given L'Shem Shemayim, with the purest of intentions. And anything that is built with Tahara, Kedusha V'Tahara, cannot possibly be destroyed. And for that reason, we are aware that Hashem told David HaMelech that you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. That was one of the many reasons, and many reasons, maybe 10 reasons, why David was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. One of them being that Hashem said to David, if you will build the Beis HaMikdash, I know that your Kavanah will be so pure and sincere, I will not be able to destroy it. and then when the time will come when Klal Yisrael will have sinned and they will be deserving of punishment, I'll have no choice but to pour out my anger upon them. Better let Shlomo, your son, whose intentions will not be the same as you, let him build it, so that when the time comes for them to be punished, I'll be able to pour my anger on a building of stone and brick and not upon my people. Fine. That is a fundamental difference between the Mishkan and the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon was built by Shlomo. It was built by Goyim, in fact, Tsar and Sidon. There were many workers who supplied the materials and did the labor to build the Bayis Rishon. And certainly the Bayis Sheni was also built by the Umos Olam. They participated. Koresh gave money, he gave permission, and many of his workers and craftsmen from all over the world participated in building. Therefore, since it was not built by Jewish people, that's why it was possible for it to be destroyed. But the Mishkan was built by Klal Yisrael, by Moshe Bezalel, and that's why it was put in Geniza. So far, that is the basic introduction to the following question. What about Mishkan Shiloh and the Mishkan of Noi V'Givay? We know that in the total history of the world, there are a total of 7 Mikdashos. There is the Mishkan, number one. Then they came to Gilgal for 14 years. Then they were in Shiloh for 369 years. Then they were in No for 13 years. Then they were in Givon for 44 years. The Bayis Rishon, 210. Bayis Sheni, 420. Okay. Mishkan, Geniza. Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni were destroyed because it was built by Goyim. But Mishkan, Shiloh was built by who? Mishkan Shiloh was built by Klal Yisrael. It was built in the state of Kedusha V'Tahara. And yet it says in the Gemara that when Eli HaKoyen died, Nechrav Shiloh. Okay, Shiloh was destroyed. It was Chorav. It was destroyed by the pollution. That's the simple understanding of the Chazal. And when Givon and when Shmuel died, Nov was destroyed? Nov was destroyed. Let me read you the words of the Gemara. Kishanes Eliakar. This is the Rambam. I'm sorry, it's not a Gemara. It's a Rambam. The Ram Hilchos Beis Habachir Perik Aleph Halacha Beis Shehera Loshna. It's a Gemara. I'm sorry. Shehera Loshna Gemara. The Masechet Zoch Manal Kishemes Eli Hakoyen Chorva Shila Ubol Noiv Kishemes Shmuel Haramasi Chorva Noiv Uvol Givain. So the question is, why did the Mikdash of Shiloh and the Mikdash of Nov, why were they Chorav? How is it possible for them to be destroyed when they were built by Jewish people with Jewish money, L'shem Shemayim? Just like the Mishkan was sacred and could not have been destroyed, was put in Geniza because it was built by Jewish money and by Jewish hands. And the Mikdash was destroyed because it was built by not Jewish money and by not Jewish hands. So Lchara, Nov, Vigiz, Shiloh, and Nov fit in the category of the Mishkan of the Midbar, and it should not have been destroyed. And also, Gil, we don't even know what happened to Gilgal. What happened exactly in Gilgal? Well, Gilgal Lchara was the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is a very tough question to ask. So he wants to suggest, he gives different answers. One answer he says is a very big chiddush. The Mishkan was never destroyed. It was put in Geniza. And when it says Chorva, Chorva refers to the city, or something along those lines. I don't really have a good answer, but the only answer I really touched upon the issue is, it's more of a Jewish answer, is that what happened at the time of Shiloh? The Oron was captured. If there is no Oron, if the Oron was taken away, then we view Shiloh to be Chorav. It does not necessarily mean that Shiloh, the Mishkan, was actually destroyed, physically destroyed. But how did Shiloh come to an end? The Pelishtim captured the Aron. And once they captured the Aron, Eli heard that it was captured. He died. He collapsed. He fell back and his neck was cracked. And he died. If there is no Aron, the Aron HaKodesh is missing. As far as in our perspective, it's Chorav. It doesn't necessarily mean that there was a fire and the bricks and stones and the different things they were putting in Geniza, but as far as our perspective of looking at what exists, it's considered to be Chorav. Now the reason why this touched a chord with me is because I remember years ago people discussing on Tisha B'Av, we say Nachem. In Nachem we say ha'ir ha'ir ha'bezuya v'ha'chareva. We say some very powerful expressions. So there are many people. There are people who are not happy with this. I've heard people to the left, and they say, "What did Tachi go say about Yerushalayim v'zman hazeh? Here ha'bezuya v'ha'chareva v'ha'shemema, and it's like a nida, a woman who's an almanon. It's a beautiful city. Go to Yerushalayim today." Go into the Jewish quarter, go into the part of Yerushalayim that's controlled by Achenu B'nai Yisrael. You're going to say that Yerushalayim, it's Bezuya Chareva Shemema? Can you really say such a thing in the Zman Hazeh in the 21st century? So the answer is yes. But why? Why is it really so? And when you take focus on this Medrash, on this Chazal, on this week's Parsha, it doesn't answer the question fully, but it does give you a little bit of appreciation. Shiloh was called in the Gemara Chorva. It was destroyed. And the way we're explaining from the Sefer called Derech Chochma, who was written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes this, it appears, is that it's called Chorva because since its destruction came about through the loss of the Aron, if you don't have the Aron HaKodesh, the Mishkan HaEdus, that's already, as far as we're concerned, nothing else matters. Torah is the ikar. If the Torah is in Golus, you could have the most beautiful building, the most beautiful structure, the most beautiful economy. If you don't have a foundation of Torah, it doesn't mean anything. So Bezman Hazeh, the Aron is in Geniza. There is no Aron. It's the same exact thing. As long as the Aron HaKodesh, the Kruv, the Aron HaKodesh, the Luchos, which represents the Korach HaTorah, is in Golos, you cannot say about the most beautiful city that it's still considered to be Chareva, Bezuya, Shemema, and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Maybe it correlates to the status of the nation, the status of the Madrega.
Okay, so there's another approach.
That's in the time of Eli, and then, you know.
Okay, that's another approach.
What he said is you know, the Abarbanel. Yeah. Again, he says the beginning of Truma. V'yasu Aron HaTzeishitim, it's the first thing that's mentioned.
It's the Iker.
Because even though it wasn't made first, obviously you had to
it's
make
the purpose.
It's Sale Kale, he did everything. But still, it's the most, since it's the most important thing, it's the focal point of everything that's Jewish in Judaism. So you have to mention it first, because everything emanates from the Aron. That's
and when there is no Aron, it's Chareva.
It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. The whole Mishkan was for the Aron. So.
And that's what we find by Shiloh. In Shiloh, we don't find anywhere that it was actually sacked. We don't find the Chorban. All we know about Shiloh was the Aron was captured. The capturing of the Aron is what the Gemara says, the Chorban of Shiloh. Everything else is Tzchar. That's a very powerful. And Nov never had the Aron. The Aron was never brought to Nov. The Aron that was brought to Ir David was brought to the Aron after the Plishtim returned the Aron. But it was returned to Ir David. It was never made its way to Noiv the Givon. Right. We discussed that. That's so. That's the Ba'i Yishen. They also didn't have an Aron. So Ba'i Yishen, we know the Aron. Ba'i Yishen was only five things were missing. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the Ba'i Yishen is accepted by was a base Akhnesis. It wasn't the gather of the full fledged base Hamikdash because five things were missing. There was no Odin Vitumim, there was no Aron, no Kaparis, there was no Ishmael Hashemayim. All of the things which brought the Shechina down were missing in the Ba'i Yishen. Okay, let's go to another a few quick ideas. There is a Rashash. Rashash, based upon the Pasuk Yecheskel, he says something which is utterly shocking. Okay, this is very controversial. This is not what the Rambam says, but the Rashash says that when the Ba'i Shlishi will not be built, okay, they will put anyone today, we'll say the Panachem, will not be built in the same location as the Ba'i Sheni. It'll be built
in Nebraska.
It'll be built on the mountains. It's on the base of Pasuk in Yecheskel. Let me read what it says. It says here, Chidush Nifla Matzasi B'chidushi HaRashash Al Masech B'Basra V'zel L'Shoinai. Again, the Rashash lived about 200 years ago. He's printed in the back of the Gemara. His works are Kodesh Kodoshim. The Agav Amadati, he writes Agav Amadati Al Perish Rashi Shom in Yecheskel Shiro L'Yashiv Asher Yushalayim Tia B'mukoyma HaRishayin V'loyheir the Lefi HaMavur Sham, according to what it says in Yecheskel, the symbol in Yecheskel, it's in Perik Mem Ches Pasik Ches, Yihyeh HaMikdosh Rochuk Mehoir Mem Hei Mil Litzat Sofain. according to the simple reason that Yerushalayim says, he read the psukim in Yechezkel, it's going to be 45 mil, it's like 30 miles. 35 miles north of where the Har HaBayis is today. V'ulai l'zeh, where?
Nablus,
that's north?
Yeah, but it's much closer.
Yeah, it's much closer.
It's 30 miles. So Ulai Lezeh Kivna Yeshaya, he says, this is what Yeshaya says. It says, Be'achris Hayomim, at the end of days, Nochon Yihyeh Har Beis Hashem Beroish Heharim. Rotzaloyim. This is the words of the Rashash, the shocking Rashash. Anyone that would say this today, they would be dismissed out of hand. The Rotzaloyim, Asheyeh Oz Al Har Acher, Asher Hu Roish Heharim Begoiva, which is, because you know, Yerushalayim, we know, is not the highest mountain, which is truly a higher mountain. Such a Rashash, to say such a thing, that the Bayis Shlishi is not going to be built in the same location as the Bayis Sheni. And he goes on to say, the Mechaber of this Sefer, Zichrimin, of Zichrimin, Omna Miloshin Arambam, Zichrin Levrochim, Hilchos Melochim, Mashma, Shesoyver, Shebeis HaMikdash HaShlishi, Yamoid, Bimokim, Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. Vizel HaShonai, Vim Yamon, talks this, the famous Mashiach, this is the famous Rambam that talks about the qualifications, what you need to do to be called Mashiach. If you want to be a Mashiach, you must do the following things. Vim Yamoid Melech Mibes David. He must be a Melech Mibes David. Hoige, who meditates, Bitorov, Oisig, Bimitzvois, Kidavid Aviv. You have a person, this man has said, that meditates in Torah and behaves in mitzvahs like David HaMelech, his father. Kimo kifi Torah shebich savi shebal peh v'yokoyf kol Yisrael. And this Melech HaMashiach will force everyone leilich ba to go in the way of Torah ulechazek bidako. I'm not sure what that word means. Bidako. I'm a beis dalit kuf hei. I'm not sure what that means. No, Beis Dalit Kuf Hei. No acronyms. V'ilochei Milchomos Hashem, and will fight the battles of Hashem. Hareze b'cheska shehu Mashiach im osa v'yitzliach v'nitzach kol humos shebesvivav. And he conquers all the humos shebesvivav. Ubone mikdash b'mikoymoi. In its place. So he wants to say the word, the Melech HaMashiach builds it by a Shlishi. The Melech HaMashiach, so he says, the Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam learns, Al Derech Pshat, it's not Minashmaim, it's a whole machlok, it's Minashmaim, and the Melech HaMashiach builds it b'ni koimoi. The kibetz nidcha, yitzhol hareze Mashiach bevadai. So he wants to be back from the Rambam, learns very clearly, it's b'ni koimoi, the word b'ni koimoi indicates that it's going to build in the same location. But it's a fascinating Rashash. Rashash doesn't just pass up this Rashi. He goes into Yecheskel, he reads very carefully, and he says that you take this little reading of the pasuk, not like Rashi, it seems that the Mikdash is going to be built 45 mil north on a mountain, and he weaves this into two prophecies, a prophecy from Yeshaya and a prophecy from Micha. He doesn't just say it and run away. He says, no, this is what Yeshaya said, and this is what Micha says. Such a chiddush we have never heard before from someone that is very well accepted to be from the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, let's come to another interesting idea about Big Day Surat. What are the Big Day? This week's parashah about the Big Day Surat. So we have three interpretations of the Big Day Surat. The classic interpretation is refers to the Big Day Kahuna. It's just another way of describing the Big Day Kahuna. The problem though is it does not mention Sheish. The pasuk says Menatchelis Ragamon Klashani. Also Big Day Surat L'Shareis Ba'Kodesh. What happened to the Sheish? What happened to the linen? Linen is not mentioned in the Big Day Surat. The linen is missing in the Big Day Surat. So some want to say it's Lav Daf. The Torah only mentioned the wool, but of course you have to have linen. We're referring to the Big Day Kahuna. However, another Bible interpretation is Rashi says, not like the, I think the Ramban says, refers to Big Day Kahuna. The Ramban, he learns that it refers to special garments that were used to cover the Kalim when they were transported. When they were transported in the Midbar, they had to be put in covers, containers. So these containers were called, we call Big Day Surat. They were draped over Big Day Surat. A third very fascinating interpretation. Many people wonder about this. What were the uniform of the Levim? Okay, in the Mikdash, we know what the Kohanim, what they wore. In all the picture books, we see the Kohanim, what they wore. But what did the Levim look like? When a Levi went and he sang Shira, how was he dressed? What did he wear? Wool? Did he wear linen? The Kohanim, they wore linen. The Kohanim wore linen. That was the primary garment. Only the Avnet had shatnes according to one opinion. But the Kohanim wore linen. What did the Levim? What clothing were they wearing? Furthermore, let's say so. When you come to Mikvah, how do you get dressed? Let's say Bizman Shabes Hamigash Yekayim, and a Yisrael comes to bring a carpet. How do you come in? You come in like a mayor? New York Nets? Maybe, I don't know. You come in, what kind of hat? Well, how does a Yisrael dress when he enters into the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon?
Yeah.
Or let's say you are a participant. Let's say you have been selected to help out with the Shechita, because it's a Shechita K'sher Bazaar. Mikra didn't even a Yisrael can light the menorah. How do you dress when you come to the Avodah? So in the Chassam Sofer says a chiddush, a hafledik chiddush, that's the big day sarad. The big day sarad were the uniforms, were the uniforms of Rashi is the covers. But the Chassam Sofer says a fascinating chiddush. The big day sarad were the uniforms of the Levim and the Yisraelim. You can't just wear whatever you want to wear. It was special garments. What's the common denominator of the garments? You wear wool. And that's a lot very interesting, because that means that the Kohanim are wearing linen,
right,
and the Levim are wearing wool, different colors. There's Tcheles blue, Argamon is purple, and Tolash Shani red. But the common denominator of those three colors is material that is wool. You know, it's like sharpness. The Kohanim are dressed in linen only, and the Levim are dressed in wool. Or even the Yisraelim who come, they give you a uniform. You don't just walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you go to bowling alley. They give you special shoes. You just can't wear any shoes that you want. You come into the Beis HaMikdash, they give you a uniform. What do you have to wear? You tell them your size, and they take out a special uniform. Depending upon your stature, it might be blue, it might be purple, it might be red, or maybe a combination of all three together. But that's what the big day sarad, and it only comes from Techeles, Argamon, Tolash, Shani, Asu big day sarad, L'Shares, Bakoidesh. Who's the Shares? The Levian and the Yisraelim. Fascinating,
says,
yeah.
Since it only says it first, doesn't say it in Truma Tzatzah, yeah. God never made a commandment to do it. So the Abarbanel quotes Rashi and says, but it's more likely that these were the garments, since it's not part of the commandment to build the part of the Mishkan.
Yeah.
These were cloths to use to keep it clean, to polish all the
polish
it.
Different interpretation.
Yeah. He says totally. V'yosin nochel lefarish ayu begadim she'asu lenakes lenakos bohem klei hakodesh.
Fascinating. Okay, there are two things. I'm running out of time. There are two fascinating things I want to include with. Rav Sternbach, he quotes here, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, Roish Av Bezin, the Eda HaCharedis. Until
back.
Recently. He took him back?
He went back this week. Yeah.
Oh, took him back, okay.
He went away last week. He left Yerushalayim for Telstone.
I thought he retired.
Telstone has a tour of South Africans.
Yeah.
So he went to, he's a thereof. He spent a week there to calm down, and then he was back this week.
Okay, so he is the Rosh Abez, so he says here an incredible chiddush. It was kedaita by this sefer to hear this chiddush.
Right?
He has an awesome chiddush. And the mechaber of this sefer, writes that he's had a long conversation with Sternbach about the chiddush I'm about to tell you in a few moments. What he holds la halacha must be done. It says in the pasuk, Vaya'asu Es tzitz nezer hakodesh zahav tahar vayichtivu olav. They wrote upon it michtav pituchei chosam kodesh laHashem. The question is, why does it say b'loshen rabim vayichtivu olav? They. Who is they? Only is only one person doing the work. Bezalel. Maybe he had some assistance. What's the b'loshen rabim vayichtivu olav? How many people write? So he quotes here the Bali HaTosfos. For verse, let's go to the Rishonim.
The
master craftsman.
Executive. He had a whole bunch of people.
But what's the writing Kodesh Lashem requires a team of people? Writing Kodesh Lashem in Boston, Kodesh Lashem, L'chara, one person could have done it. L'chara, maybe it was very complex. I mean, multiple people, okay, so it's a question. If we wouldn't have the Balei Tais, we would say, like what you said, you needed a team of people. It was a very complex procedure. We don't exactly know what the Tis looked like. We don't exactly know how it was embossed. It was a complex procedure, so you needed a team of people to participate in writing the Kodesh Lashem. Okay, but we have, add to our advantage, the Balei Tais. The Balei Tais, the Moshe of Zakenim in the back of the Mikros Gedolos, Chiddush Godol, B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, Zeichel Levracha. It says, what does he say? The Omar, Shekoy said, now he goes in, though he goes into, that he's going off the topic, but let me first get to the point, is, being that writing Hashem's name is a Dover Shebe Kedusha, it's a Dover Shebe Kedusha, Hashem's name, Ein Dover Shebe Kedusha Pochus Me'asara. When you write Kodesh La Hashem, you have to have 10 people present in the room, paying their attention when one person who's the Shliach Tzibur writes L'Shem Kedush Hashem, Kodesh La Hashem. Ein Dover Shebe Kedusha Pochus Me'asara. When you read the words, Lazelam Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid, came Vichtu Allah from Kumikhla Kutl Hashem, Shalachoyra Yesh Ladaik, Lama Ksiv, Vayichtvu, Bloshin Rabbim, Vichich, Yichalim Harbi, Bnei Adam, Lichtav Kechot, Ela, Kosbo Lalam, Denu, Shakosu Hashem Alatzitz, Bemaimod, Minyan Asara. Shein, Maimed Asar, Shein, Dover, Shebekadusha, Pachos, Maser, Lachain, Kosiv, Vayichtvu, Bloshin Rabbim. Now, go further. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, based upon that, when you write the Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah, when you Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, on a Sefer writes the Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah, he has to have 10 people in the room with him when he writes Yud Kei Vav Kei in a Sefer Torah.
Does anyone do that?
No one does this, of course. But that's what he says. So Rav Sternbach says that Rav Sternbach, this is his chiddush, and he holds this lamaisa, and this is a chiddush nifla, which I don't think people do, but he holds that this must be done. So Bizman Hazahau Yimakayim, the Rabbi Huda Hachos, who holds that you have to write Yudke Vovke B'mamed Asar to fulfill what it says, Kodesh Lashem and the Tzitz. He says when the Sofer goes to Shachris in the morning and he answers Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 B'mamed Asara, he has to have Kavana. That's for that Kedusha of 10 people, of answering Kedusha, should it go with him, carry him throughout the entire day, through all the shameless that he writes in the Sefer Torah.
So
let me read.
Once is enough.
Okay, but we don't pass line. That's not
so
that. The first time. Now let me explain what he says. Investing. That going of Moshe Sternbach Shlita Miyashiv Minik HaOlam Duulai. He's Miyashiv Duulai. Keshem Sheminik HaSeifrim Hu Litvul BaBoiker. The Minik is the Seifer goes to Mikvah in the morning. You're not allowed to write Hashemosh before you go to Mikvah. You must go to Mikvah. Utzvilu Zuma Ilo Lachol Hashemosh Sheyichtevu B'Meshach Kol Hayom. Kach Yesh Loimar Shleinyan Kesivus Hashem B'Minyan Asara Moyel Kesha HaSeifer Mispalel Shachris. Bitzibur, the Oimer Kedusha Biasara, Uvze Kvar Kiddush Kol Hashemois Sheyichta B'Meshech Hayom. Now, there's a tremendous chumrah that results from this. Let's say the Sefer has 10 children. So it's not every time can he make it to Shachris. Anyone that has 10 little children knows you can't make it always to Shachris. Sometimes you have to skip a Shachris. You got to take the kids to the doctor. If the Sefer doesn't go to Shachris, he can't write the Shem Hashem. Okay, but you have to wait to write the Shem. Still mincha. Lefi zeh be'emet tzarich ha-Sefer lizor l'spalul b'tzibur im minyan asar v'loim ha'imam kedusha. Unbelievable. Not only that, many Sefer have the minog, they write early in the middle of the night. Because the only time where it's peace and quiet, especially people who write tefillin, it's very common, they ask around, the Sefer writes tefillin, they write it in the middle of the night. They write it, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, because to write tefillin, you have to write in one shot. And you need peace and quiet. And peace and quiet, you get in the middle of the night when no one's bothering you. But it's before davening. If you went to sleep and you did not get davening, and it's before davening, you did not have the davar shem b'kedusha to carry you through the entire day. You should do this. You should be nizer not to write the Shem Hashem until you first go to Shachris and Davar Shem B'Kedusha to the Kaim when it says Nisik's Parsha V'Yichtavu Olav Kodesh L'Hashem in Davar Shem B'Kedusha Pachos Me'asor. You have to carry Meshach Liu. And he goes on, he says, I had a conversation with him and he brought rice, fakert. He has a rice, fakert. And he basically, he dismissed all of his rice and he holds the Shem Nizer in this halacha. But he comes out at the end something very, very beautiful, which is something we're very big the mile from our generation. Years ago, it wasn't a big thing to have even a Siyum Sefer Torah. What was a Siyum Sefer Torah years ago? Go back 150 years ago. A Sefer was signed the Sefer Torah, and he delivered a finished product. He gave it to you. And you made a suda. You brought it to the shul. You made a suda. Years ago, it became a big celebration. You bring out the Sefer Torah. The last couple of lines are not yet been filled in, and you mechavik people to come and fill in the last couple of lines. To be mitzvarif, and you make a whole. You make a truck, and you have a whole thing. Then, more recently, go back maybe 10, 15 years ago, it became a big fundraising event. Not only is there the Siyum Sefer Torah, they have the haschala. You ever hear? They do this in all the fun, all the institutions. They take the first Yiriya, but the same way the Messiah in the last Shri Pesuk, they have the first Yiriya, and they outline Bereishis Bar Elokim Eishas Hashem V'Eishas Haaretz, and you bring in all of your donors, and you take the pictures of snapping away, and it's a fundraising event, and you mask L'Haschola Sefer Torah. So he says, so most of the Haschola, they don't do the Shem Hashem, but he says it would be a very nice thing. He mentions this, is when you start the Sefer Torah, you should be dafka with a minyan. You make a big ceremony, and the first shame, just like I told you before, when you say the first shame, Hashem l'shem, kedusha Sefer Torah, according to one opinion, it goes to the ganze Sefer Torah. It's a beautiful thing, he says, especially in our generation, where it's becoming very common in this Zman Hazeh, where not only do they have a ceremony to be messiah in the Sefer Torah, you have a ceremony to start the Sefer Torah. When you start the Sefer Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the first Elokim should be written, b'mined, 10 people, l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, to give the first Shem Hashem, the real kedusha of 10 people, like it says, v'yichtavu olav, and once that kedusha has been imparted to the first Shem, it's mamshech, there's an inyan that it continues, that kedusha for all the Shemos, that will be written throughout the entire Sefer Torah, all the way to the very end. Very beautiful meaning, very, very beautiful meaning. Of course, yes, halacha. That's a makpid. That's a halacha. You must. Some seifrim, they do all the shemos in one shot. They skip all the shemos, they go to mikvah, and they do all the shemos in one shot. Halacha l'maestre, the seifrim even more makpid. They makpid even not to write anything unless they go to mikvah.